I'm pleased to be wearing a Prescott Curly Wolves mask today that was presented to me by Secretary of Education Johnny Key. And I want to thank my colleagues for joining me today. Of course, Secretary Romero of the Department of Health. We have representative of the Department of Human Services, Melissa, thank you, Johnny Key, and of course, Solomon Graves. The purpose of the session today is to make an announcement and to outline how we intend to utilize our Abbott Binex Now antigen rapid test equipment. And as I make this announcement, I want to emphasize that this is really an opportunity for us to have a quick response on positive test, but also if it's a negative test, they have quick assurance of that. It's going to be utilized in our schools. It's going to be utilized in our healthcare, the staff at our human development centers, as well as by the staff at the Department of Corrections. And this is the first time we've developed a plan for sentinel testing or surveillance testing that goes beyond simply symptomatic or exposure type testing. And so this is a new world for us that will give us new benefits for this testing. And let me go first to the supply of this. We currently have 100,000 Abbott Binex Now rapid antigen tests that are in hand as part of our inventory. This is how simple it is. You have a swab, you have the kit, which is a card, and that will be mixed with some reagent. But this is how simple of a test it is, with the results coming back within 15 minutes. It does not have to be in a sophisticated lab. It can be in a school nurse environment. And so there's a lot more flexibility with the use of these antigen tests. We have 100,000 in hand, and we're going to be expected to receive 50,000 of these tests per week. In addition, we have another brand of antigen test, the BD Veritor, that we've had for some time that's available through the Department of Health local offices. And then our long-term care facilities have a direct supply of these that come in from the federal government. There's other hospitals, others that have private sector sources of supply that they have access to the antigens. But this is a plan that we can utilize at the state level to really help us to identify new cases in ways that we haven't before. And then if we go to the distribution priorities, and this is the announcement for today, that first of all, healthcare workers are always the priority. And anytime we need something for our healthcare workers, we need to have greater testing capacity. We'll make sure that happens. And they are prioritized on PCR tests that's generally handled within their hospital setting. The antigen test will be used for healthcare workers as needed, but we're hopeful that we'll be able to keep the bulk of the supply of the antigen test for broader surveillance in our schools, over the staff in our human development centers, and our staff at our Department of Corrections. And so it's going to be allocated, the staff of the Department of Corrections, and this can be applied to enhance visitor visitation, and residents of the correctional facilities with public-facing job assignments, they will be allocated 20% of the tests. So we have 100,000 in inventory. They're going to immediately get 20,000 of these antigen tests. Plus, as we get 50,000 a week, they'll be getting that allocation to them. The second priority would be the, and this is not in order of priority, these are our priorities. These are the Human Development Center's staff. That will be Arkadelphia, Boonville, Conway, Jonesboro, and the Southeast Human Development Center. They will receive 20% of the test as well. That will allow them not to test the staff one time, but be able to test the staff as a plan every week. And so it again will allow confidence that we're keeping the virus out of these facilities, whether it's corrections or whether it is human development centers, because we're frequently testing the staff. the K through 12 schools, this will be used as weekly screening tests for staff. Symptomatic staff will continue to have a priority for the local health office and PCR testing, but this again is for screening. It is not for those that are symptomatic. It is not necessarily those that are exposed. We can utilize that, but that's a different protocol. Our goal is to utilize this in a way that will expand the confidence in our schools and to be able to identify viruses that we've never been able to detect before. And that is going to be allocated 55% of the test. The remaining 5% of the test is going to be held in reserve for healthcare workers, other populations as needed. Now, I also will add that we have an election coming up. We're going to have poll workers there, and we want to make election workers to have a priority through their local health office for rapid tests. And this could be through the Abbott Binext Now test, or it could be through the BD Veritor test. But they will have continued priority as the election nears. If they want to have a comfort level before or after they go to the polling place, before they work to make sure they're not going to expose anybody, they can get a test. If they want to, after they finish with a day's work and they feel like they want a test before they resume normal life, then that will be available to them and they will have a priority. And so with that, I will want to cover our today's cases, and then I'll ask those that will be setting out the details of the plans to come and to cover those with more specificity. In today's case count, we have 884 additional PCR cases, plus 195 new probable cases. That gives us 1,079 new COVID-19 cases in Arkansas in the last 24 hours. In terms of hospitalizations, the hospitalizations have been reduced by 18, which again is good news. That's 2 days in a row that they've been reduced. That's down to 587. And the deaths from that have been confirmed are at 21. That brings us to 1,484. PCR testing was at 7,141. And antigen testing, and you're going to see increased utilization of this and new higher numbers on this. It's a new record for antigen testing at 1,946 with 258 positive. Dr. Romero will be able to cover the counties, but I'll quickly, and again, this is not restarting our daily COVID updates. We're going to continue to do it weekly, but I wanted to announce the antigen news and priorities for those tests. But I thought I'd also today cover the graphs. And here, this is week by week, which is instructive to give us an idea. First of all, we've had, and these are community and correctional cases. These are confirmed cases or PCR cases in Arkansas. The next one, you can see the number of new cases by case type. And so the orange is the PCR test. The white is the antigen or new probable cases. You can see how that's broken down. You can see how we're where we don't want to be. And again, you can see the pattern going back in weeks. And I talked to Dr. Porter, Dr. Austin Porter, and he's identified the pattern that Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, the case numbers go down. You start seeing them go back up toward the end of the week. And that's been a pattern before, and so it's expected that those will go up here Wednesday. It'll probably be high tomorrow and on Friday, and then hopefully it will go down over the weekend. But I was hoping that we'd keep it down below 1,000. It's not there. So we've got more work to do, clearly, in reducing that height tomorrow. I hope is not the same. You can see the 7-day rolling average of confirmed and probable cases. It's going up the wrong direction. Next, you have the positivity rate well below the 10%, but it has ticked up a little bit, which I don't want to see, and we hope that it can return back down, but we still are below the 10% CDC recommended level. And then the hospitalizations, you can see down a little bit, Next, this is something I wanted to emphasize for a moment. And this is, we're not to the middle of the month yet, and yet we had 127,000 PCR tests. And if you remember, last month it was about 200,000. But we are on target to set a new record for PCR tests this month. Now, my goal every month is 3% of the population, which is 180,000. If we test 3% of the population every month, that gives us a good sense of where we are in the state, and we're testing robustly. But we are testing much higher than that goal, and that's a good thing because it gives us a chance to identify more and to isolate, quarantine as needed. But we're going to, if we keep at this same level, exceed 250,000 tests this month in the state of Arkansas. Next, you'll see the number of antigen tests, which again, this will continue to go up because we're utilizing it more. We've got more supplies there, and people are utilizing it more. So with that, let me recognize Dr. Romero, followed by Secretary Key to talk about the education side.
Thank you and good afternoon. So I will keep my comments brief because there are a number of individuals following me. Let me just comment about the counties that have over 20 cases. There are 11 at this point, at this day. Number one county is Craighead at 66 cases. Pulaski County is number two at 56. Third places are occupied by Benton and Washington counties at 42 cases, followed by Greene, 26, Pope, 25, Garland and Poinsett, 24, Faulkner, 23, and then Lawrence, 22, and lastly, Mississippi at 21. Regarding the antigen tests, this is a new process and a new way of trying to identify cases. Antigen tests that are currently being talked about, the BINAX test, these have high sensitivity and high specificity in the laboratory and in the test setting. We hope to see the same degree of sensitivity and specificity as they're rolled out. The benefit of these tests is that individuals can be tested on a sequential basis. So as the governor mentioned, what we're looking for is sequential sentinel testing. That is identifying individuals quickly and removing them from the environment so that they are no longer infecting other individuals and so that we can begin contact tracing as soon as we have this information. We will gain more information about how these work over the next few weeks, but they are being deployed in centers that we believe will have a major impact on our caseload here. So I'll stop here and turn this over to Secretary Key.
Good afternoon. The procedure that we are going to follow for distribution and identification of which districts are to get these test kits, we'll look at multiple data points. We will prioritize these schools, not necessarily in this order, but we will be looking at the red zone districts from the ACHI weekly data. The districts that have schools with a history of on-site modifications, districts that may have a current high case number, and then any emerging information that may come about that shows that a hot spot could be developing. The identified priority districts will be invited to attend a webinar so that we can understand, or they can understand, what is expected of them. Some of those expectations will be that districts must have at least one person on staff that is trained to administer the test. The districts must agree to file both the positive and negative results through the electronic system that ADH has provided. We'll be tasked with working directly with ADH to continue ordering supplies as needed and ongoing training and updates as they become necessary. The target date for identifying our priority districts is October 19th on Monday. And then the next 2 weeks, we will go through the process of doing the training and distribution. with our target date for screening to be November 2nd. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. Good afternoon to those viewing this briefing. As the governor indicated, the Department of Corrections will receive 20% of the state's allotment of these BINACS rapid test antigen kits, and we are grateful for that. This is another tool that we will be able to use to aggressively respond to this virus, and as it continues to be a presence in our lives. The tests will be allocated as follows. Facility staff within both the Division of Correction and the Division of Community Correction. The latter operates our community correction centers and the state's supervision sanction programs. We will also be testing facility medical staff employed by WellPath, which is the contract medical provider for the state of Arkansas. We will be testing non-facility staff visiting a facility, which includes our IT staff, our maintenance staff, and senior management who may be going to a particular location. We'll also be testing inmates, as the governor said, who have forward-facing job assignments. That is our what we refer to as porters or trustee-level inmates, inmates assigned to our work release programs, inmates assigned to our Correctional Industries Division. All tests will be self-administered on the employee side. On the inmate staff, our partners at WellPath will test inmates in our custody. And no more than 7 calendar days will separate any test either for staff or inmates. WellPath will also be working with us to develop training for our staff on how to self-administer this test and also provide a patient handout, which provides instructions for quarantine and or isolation as appropriate. We will begin the rollout of these tests next week with a phased rollout, what we're referring to internally as a soft rollout. Department-wide will begin the week of October 27th, covering the population groups I previously referenced.
Thank you, Solomon. I didn't adequately introduce Melissa Stone. She's the director of the Division of Developmental Disability Services. Does a great job, and wanted to give her the microphone.
Thank you, Governor. So the Division of Developmental Disability Services at the Department of Human Services, we are extremely grateful to be included in a priority for rapid testing at the Human Development Centers. The Human Development Centers, for those who don't know about them, take care of individuals with profound intellectual disabilities. We serve about 900 clients across the state and have about 1,800 staff. So we are looking forward to being able to test 100% of our human development staff on a weekly basis. They're being trained this afternoon on how to properly administer the nasal swabs and the kit itself, and we will begin testing on Monday. So thank you. We are looking forward to it, and we do think this will help identify and stop spread in our congregate settings. We are actively trying to take care of our clients, and we are very grateful.
Thank you, Melissa. With that, we'll open it up to any questions.
So in terms of the total number of tests that are going to be done each week, it sounds like that's going to be about 50,000. And then I was also just wondering, logistically, are the employees going to be administering it to themselves, or how's that going to work?
Johnny, why don't you talk about that?
Our plan for the schools is that someone on site would be trained, or multiple individuals would be trained. So it would not be self-administered. It could be a school nurse or some other staff member there that has been trained to administer the test and get the results, and also to submit the results through the portal.
Is there a technical answer there? I can add one. Dr. Merrill, why don't you
So what Secretary Key has said is correct. These tests are extremely easy to use. It is simply taking a swab, a Q-tip, and rubbing it a number of times in each nostril, and then placing this on a little card, rubbed five times, and then some drops of liquid are placed on them. They can be done, as stated, by a person designated in the school. That's usually how we would do it. But they also can be sampled by somebody by an individual themselves, a non-trained medical person. It's best if a medical person does it because the technique is done correctly each time. So,
if you're having to test a whole bunch of employees at the same time, you know, if it's all being done in the same location, it just seems like that would take a while.
So again, I will let Dr. Secretary Key talk about the logistics of how they're going to do it, but it could be done that everybody is – that you cycle through the population of the school. So not everybody has to be tested on day one, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so forth, so that the burden of the person performing the test and reporting the test is less.
Next question.
Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Wanted to ask you a couple things. The lawsuit that was filed challenging the state's health directives over the pandemic was dismissed by Judge Griffin this morning. I understand that there's going to be an appeal. First, wanted to see if you had a comment on the lawsuit being dismissed. And secondly, wanted to follow up on your comments yesterday regarding next steps if hospitalizations don't improve. You mentioned talking with your health team about additional action that could be taken. Wanted to see if you could elaborate on what all could be on the table in terms of additional action, and is part of that trying to find overflow space or some way to deal with capacity if that becomes more of a concern than it is now?
Thank you, Andrew. And in reference to the lawsuit that challenged my authority under the emergency rules that we've put into place, as well as that of the Secretary of Health, I was pleased that Judge Griffin ruled on the motion to dismiss and granted the motion to dismiss that ends that lawsuit. And I want to express appreciation to Judge Griffin because he handled this in a appropriate but a quick fashion as the plaintiffs requested. And the reason to have that definitively answered is that particularly whenever we're seeing high hospitalizations and a continued number of high cases, we want the public to have confidence that in the emergency rules that we've put into place. The judge found very clearly without any hesitation that every action we've taken is pursuant to the authority that the General Assembly has given to us and that is necessary in this emergency. So that quick decision, I think, will clearly give great confidence, will allow us to proceed with the steps that we need to handle this emergency, and I'm grateful for that quick decision. In terms of the next steps, let me just talk about hospitalizations. As our health team does, we stay in regular contact with our hospital association, but also individual hospitals, monitoring their ability to handle the COVID cases. And because we've been 7 months into this pandemic, because they're experienced, because they have the relationships and cooperation, they all tell me that they've got flexibility, they can handle the cases, and we're not to the point of having full capacity. And so while we want to keep them down, everybody should understand there is a hospital bed, and they're going to make the adjustments needed that they get the care for the COVID patients as is required. Obviously, if we see that continue to go up and it somehow gets close to a stretching point, then we will look at the surge capacity, which is already built in to our hospital plan. So that's what we monitor to see if there's any additional steps that should be taken in that regard. But right now we have adequate capacity. You know, there's always things, if you look down the road, we don't know where this is going to go. We don't know how tough the winter is going to be, and we have to be prepared to take additional steps if need be, but we're working very hard to make sure we don't have to put any more burdens on our citizens, that we can ask for compliance with the public health guidelines and continue to stress that, which is the ultimate tool that we have. Next question.
Hey, Governor, it's Josh Wired at KEIT, and I'm kind of glad you said that last part about compliance and following the rules. In Northeast Arkansas, I think you guys have listed now 5 in Northeast Arkansas today where the number is consistently going up. This has been going on for 3, almost 4 weeks. I understand people in Northeast Arkansas may be a little hard-headed, but what can you do to get the message across here? Because take it seriously, wear a mask. It is not working.
Well, Craighead County did have 66 new additional cases. It is working in large parts of the state. I was down in Hope yesterday. We see Northwest Arkansas where you've had a reduction in cases. And so we've proven it works, and people do adopt compliance with the guidelines because they see that it does work and that it is necessary. Craighead County needs to make sure they do everything they can to stop the spread, to protect themselves and others. Specifically, I have, through our team, talked to the law enforcement personnel there, and they understand the important role of educating, reminding people. And so we are taking steps to hopefully increase that education there in Northeast Arkansas and to ask a greater level of compliance with those guidelines. Next question.
Governor Hyatt, Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. Can I take you back to hospital capacity for a moment? While we understand there's plenty of hospital capacity, I've been told the real problem may be personnel, and that Arkansas could find itself competing for personnel, much like we found ourselves competing for PPE at the beginning of this pandemic.
You're absolutely correct. And this is not something that's new in the last week. This has been true for the last probably 2 months, where you have contractors coming in, offering dollars to healthcare professionals to work on contract and are paying them high dollars to do that. And so it is a challenge for our hospitals and our medical teams. They're working on it. They're addressing it every day. But it is, that is the challenge because ICU beds takes extra personnel, highly qualified teams, and they have those in place, but having the adequate personnel is a challenge for the future, and that's something that we will work on and try to address as needed.
Just a follow-up, Governor, do you see that as being something you might have to go to and seek CARES funding for?
Well, we've utilized the CARES funding for extra compensation for those that in the healthcare field that deal directly with the COVID patients. And so there was some extra compensation there. There's not any additional funds now. If we get allocated additional funds from Congress through another stimulus package, that's something that certainly should be considered. Any other questions?
Workers, are you recommending that they get tested before the election, or is that just kind of on an as-needed basis?
No, I'm not recommending it, but we understand the importance of the poll workers, and it's a matter of giving confidence to the public that the poll workers are safe, as well as protecting the poll workers and giving them an additional tool. So this is a matter of comfort level. It's a matter of if a poll worker wonders, you know, have I exposed myself to someone and they want to be tested? We want to accommodate that. We want to make sure that is available to them because we appreciate their service during this important election. Thank you very much.